Welcome to The Whole View. I'm Stacey Toth of Real Everything, and I'm here each week to dive deeper into how we can find happiness and health inside and out through self-love, body positivity, and discovering new ways to be our best selves. Before we get started, a reminder, this podcast is for general educational purposes and is not intended to diagnose, advise, or treat any physical or mental illness. And while Dr. Yu is an MD, she's not yours. So please, we recommend that you see a licensed health professional accordingly. And I'm excited because this week, Dr. Yu is joining us to discuss a recent study that came out and subsequent press articles about it regarding nanoparticles, plastic microparticles in our water. And the science is a little geeky. And so we're gonna go there with you. Is it okay if I call you Jenny?
Yes, that's perfect. Okay. Thanks for having me, Stacey. Yeah,
thank you for being here. So Jenny Yu is the Chief Health Officer for RVO Health, which is the parent company to Healthline, Health Grades, and Optum Perks. She leads the medical affairs team and supports the overall organization and strategy growth, medical integrity, and external speaking opportunities like this one. Prior to joining Healthline in 2020, she was a practicing academic clinician with 15 plus years experience in research and operation, a co-founder of the nonprofit Project Thea. Am I pronouncing that right? Okay.
Yeah.
With a focus on education, care, and innovation in facial reconstructive surgeries for global communities. I love it. I'm all about the giving back here. So I was a big fan when I read that was part of your work, and you have a broad interest in innovation and solutions that help patients navigate the complexity of the healthcare systems, which is one of the things we try to do here. So I'm glad that today we can try to talk about navigating some of those complexities, specifically as it relates to something that we all need to survive, which is our water. Shortly after I did the deep dive into Berkey versus the EPA, which was another bonus show that I recently did, this study came out like literally the same week. And the science is still trying to get its arms around the true understanding of all of this and the health effects. And we'll go into that a little bit. But we wanted to, in the meantime, discuss what we know and what we can individually do to reduce our exposure. Dr. Yu, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? And I always like to ask, tell us something personal, a little funny about yourself, your family, so we get to know you a little better.
Yeah, thanks, Stacey. So I grew up in California and currently reside in Pennsylvania. I have two girls that are in that tween age. And I, like you had mentioned, I was a practicing physician and now I serve as the medical lead for a consumer health company. And I guess my fun fact about myself is that I'm a huge music fan. So I've been a music fan for a long time and I listen to all kinds of music, and it's what keeps me motivated and gets my creative juices going. And so even though I work the role in which I support lots of science and we do a lot of decision making and research, I tend to let my hair loose with the creative aspect of my life through music.
I love that. And I'm glad that you found some sort of balance. I learned early, well, not early on. I learned way too late that corporate career wasn't right for me, but good that you found like some kind of balance there. I'd love if we can start maybe with just your overall first impression of specifically the study, but also the news surrounding it. Sometimes I find that news can be unfair or a little like clickbaity around studies, that kind of thing. So talk about your opinion when you first read the actual study.
Yeah, I first want to just ground our us a bit in the audience on just microplastic and nanoplastic, right? So microplastic is the size of a grain of rice, and nanoplastic is actually not visible to the naked eye. It's a micron, usually, or less than a micron. And what that really means is, if you imagine it's one single strand of hair, and that's about 80 microns wide. And so for comparison, plastics are an 80th smaller than a single strand of hair. And unfortunately, we do have plastics, whether micro or nano, that's ubiquitous, right? Around everything that is in our daily lives, whether in intake, ingestion through oral routes, we inhale plastic particles, and then there's the skin contact. So there are many ways in which micro-anim could get into our body. And then we can certainly talk about what are the kind of current science behind it and what's the actual kind of things around it. I think anytime these studies come out, and nowadays we have so many different studies that are very much, like you said, captures and news attention, and then it just gets spread quickly, like a wildfire. And if you don't understand how research study design and how things are set up, at times it could be very kind of anxiety driven and fearful for people, in the sense that with all the information that is out there, whether it's research, studies, news, whatever it may be, it is just so overwhelming, right? And consuming for people to actually know, what am I supposed to do? Like, what am I supposed to do in terms of just living my life and making the right choices such a way that it helps with my overall health and, of course, my overall well-being of my family, my children. And people are just sometimes almost a bit paralyzed, right, by the news and the information, because it's just hard to process it all. And so that I wanted to just ground ourselves. And I think these studies are good that we are doing these in such a way that it allows for awareness and information for people to understand kind of the risks of these plastics, hopefully in a way that changes industries and changes policies around, you know, what is in our consumable goods, what is, you know, our overall human contribution to climate and to protecting ourselves. That from a news and research perspective, that's my initial reaction. And that's my initial reaction always when I, whether it's on social media, TikTok trends, news, whatever not, I think we have to take everything in a way that allows us to process and discern, like, what do we do with this information? What can we take for face value? What is the clickbaitiness, like you said, of these things? And then, like, how do I actually do it? Take the information, have the awareness so that it helps me to actually make the right informed decision on these things. So that's my initial reaction on that one.
Well, calm processing does not sell. No, but I appreciate that grounding. And I think that it is important, because when this news article first made its way to me, it was posed with a question of, because there is a reference in the conclusions regarding reverse osmosis, and we'll get to that. But the question was like, can we even trust anything anymore? Now all scientific studies are void because they're using water without reverse osmosis. And I was like, wait, like, let's actually look at everything before we start freaking out. So let's start there. What did the study actually look
at? Yeah. What the study looked at was that there's a way to visualize, right? When I had mentioned that there's just like such a challenge for visualizing the potential particles that exist in our water source. So this really just gave us a method of how can we actually visualize the particles that are existing potentially in our water or kind of other medium. And by doing that, it actually then allows us to understand the concentration of potentially these particles within bottled water.
And looking at the concentrations, what were some of the findings and conclusions?
Yeah, I think that the findings and conclusions are such that it's a bit higher than what, you know, people would anticipate in that kind of a volume of liquid. And in not to say that we had certain expectations of that, but it just gave us an opportunity to really say, okay, we have a method of visualization, and that method of visualization then give us the opportunity to see the increased concentration that is in this volume of liquid, and that the foundation and the objective kind of data that is this research study.
I think what was interesting to me as we dive a little deeper into that is that magnitude was about 2 to 3 times more than what people would have previously understood it to be. And I think a lot of people know now at this point that there can be chemical leaching from plastic bottles. I think that's made its way consumer wide. And to not to consume plastic, things that have been in plastic that's been warmed up specifically, right? That's increasing the degradation, the integrity of the plastic, and then infusing it into whatever you might be consuming. But what was interesting is that what this study found is that all water sources, not just plastic bottled, but from the well to the bottle, they call it, included this increase in micro nano plastic particles. Mm-hmm. They refer to them as polymers because there's a variety of different sources. But to consider that is, okay, we need to get broader in our mindset about where the plastic is in our water or the chemicals associated with it, the micro particles.
Yeah. And I would say more than the water source, right? I think these micro and particles are all around us. And what I mean by that is that the synthetic fibers of our, you know, clothing, as it goes through laundry, you can look at the laundry wastewater and realize that their synthetic fibers are sort of part of this kind of larger categories of, you know, and then there are microbeads. There's just certain delivery methods of ingredients that are in our personal care product, whether it's skincare or soaps or shampoos and such. And just how tires mechanically friction against the roads can create particles of plastics also into the air that we inhale. So it's really just all around us. And at the end of the day, you say, okay, well, then what does that mean that this is all around us? And what is the long-term effects to whether it's the cellular level, then what does that mean then as it translates to organ damage, all those things? I think that still needs to be determined in many ways. And so, and we can get into that a bit. But.
Yeah, no, I love bringing awareness to all of those other factors. I think one of the things that I try to do on the show is help people become aware of those things, but not be paralyzed by them either, right? There's certain things that we can control and there's certain things that we can't. And I thought that when I switched our family to the little pods or drops, that I was making eco-conscious decision for our family. And then I learned later that is putting microplastics down the laundry. That plastic is literally melting and going into the water source. And I was like, oh, okay, try again. And now we use the sheets. But like, you do the best that you can with the knowledge that you have. And then we try to make better decisions going forward. And I know a lot of us are using reusable bottled water or making choices about the clothing that we're wearing being more eco-friendly and health-friendly and many of the things that you mentioned. But there's still, if you're living in modern culture, you are surrounded by so much of these things and there's only so much that you can do. And that's why the things that you can control in terms of reducing your toxic load seem really important to me, because I can't control so many things that are in the environment.
Yeah.
But I can when it comes to the choices that I'm making in the house that I'm living and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. So, and like you said, that comes from awareness, right? And like you said, it's also with the thing I want to also mention is that there's like a cumulative effect, right, of all the things that are our lifetime exposure. And I think what I certainly don't want, and I say this to patients, friends, family members, anybody who asks me this question and to your audience, is that I think the flip side of being fearful and stressed out about the things we can't control and like having this information in which it paralyzes people in their decision making, and then one has sort of anxiety around us, around everything, then that actually, the stress and the kind of mental anguish that creates also is not going to be beneficial from a health perspective, right? So there's the flip side of that. And I just wanted to specifically mention that as well.
Absolutely. Stress is to our system.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you mentioned was the toxicity of these things in our bodies. And absolutely, it is very clear that science needs to be fully understanding this more. What we do know, however, is that these microplastics can cross our biological barrier, which is very different than a grain of rice, right? Like how it's going into our bodies. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So these nanoparticles now have been seen to can be integrated into cells, right? And so that is the kind of, I would say, the basic like Lego block in terms of the function of all the physiologic organs of our body. And when these sort of are integrated into the cells and penetrate the cellular membrane so that it affects what the mitochondria and the other kind of things that are the powerhouses or the driver, and however you want to use an analogy of our cellular function, then it can be seen to have long-term effects. And what those long-term effects are in studies and other studies now have shown or at a broad level, can increase inflammatory markers in various different organ systems. If you think about it in terms of the cardiovascular system, your heart, your lungs, your gut, your brain, and your blood system. So increased inflammatory markers, how it affects your cells, then it, what I would say, puts things out of balance or disrupts the homeostasis. And what does that mean over a long term? I think those are the things that we still need to be studied. And what I always say is that a lot of times these studies are done in lower order of animals, right? Like whether it's in mice or rats and how they set these things up and how that translates then into humans, right, still need to be determined. And so that is also important as people read studies and take in this information to understand the kind of not all studies done in lower order animals necessarily translate linearly into human and how it impacts humans. But yes, I would say that yes, it is going into cells and it is increasing inflammatory markers. And we certainly need more studies in terms of what then this kind of cumulative effects are in terms of how it impacts potentially damages function of the organ systems of your lungs, your kidneys, your heart, and various things.
I found it fascinating when I was looking at some of the references that the study was using, that they were looking at, as you've mentioned, studies as it related to toxicity and health impacts, not just to animals, but also I was reading one about plants, and they were looking at specifically how it's affecting the development of those plants in ocean and sea waters, right? Like, and they can see that the microplastics are also getting into the plant life as well. And so if you think about then the animals are going to be consuming that, we're consuming the animals, and the science needs to catch up on like fully understanding what kind of all of that means. And at the same time, culturally, we just can't snap our fingers and make plastic go away. I wish we could. That's not where we are. So I'm wondering, what were your biggest takeaways when you're looking at this study and, okay, this is more than we thought. There are risks that are not fully understood. What should I do in terms of minimizing my own exposure?
Yeah, and I think all biologic living systems are going to be, like you said, intaking this nano and microplastics that is ubiquitous. And so not surprising in terms of the studies that show plant life, sea plant life are, have been shown to have these particles as part of now their living systems. And I think at the end of the day, like what we had mentioned earlier, was just like, there are things we can control and then there are things we can't control. And so just being aware of that the plastic is all around us and how we can reduce some of that risk for our family is important, whether it's then using more sustainable material that is biologically inert, right? So like glass, like steel and whatever not, and just understanding overall in general, ingredients that are part of our everyday life, whether it's things that we ingest, things that we put on our skin, things that we inhale, and that includes perfumes and other sort of products of that nature, and just what companies are doing from a standard perspective, ingredients and how they show up for the consumers in terms of their manufacturing practices and their corporate responsibility and commitment to society and to consumers and how they put things together. And so I think that's just important overall for people to have awareness of that. And certainly there's just a lot of marketing language in terms of like, hey, this is clean, this is green. And so what does that all mean? And so part of the team that is a health line that I lead is we look at all products that exist on our site as we talk about best fitness equipment or best vitamin C oil, whatever it is, we are always looking at the standards. We're thinking about it for the consumer so that we're doing the legwork for the consumer. But I would say that people need to be able to be discerning and looking at these ingredients and not just be caught up in the sort of marketing language, very much like the clickbait titles sometimes of the news. And because we live in such a world where there's information overload and our attention is everywhere, but then also nowhere, that it's important then to be able to know how to look at the ingredients and know the risks that are associated with everything that you're consuming, whether orally, skin, and inhalation. So
it's a huge passion of mine, and I love that you brought that up. And I think it's impossible for most consumers to understand labels, both from the perspective of greenwashing, when you're talking about cleaning products and personal care products being completely unregulated, both in terms of what claims are being made, and then the fragrance loophole allowing so many chemicals and ingredients to not be disclosed. It makes it impossible to like look at a label for most people and figure that out. And so I think being able to have a trusted source, whether it's going and reading an article on Healthline, whether it's checking the safety rating on EWG, whether it's actually looking up an ingredient and saying, I don't know what this is, let me Google it. I think that it's important that we become aware as consumers that the people that we might hope have our best interest in heart might be thinking that they do, but not doing the full analysis on what is the long-term effect to some of these things, and making oftentimes choices that are more in the interest of economic advantage, whether someone genuinely is aware that something is truly harmful for health. I like to imagine that in most cases, that's not the case, but that they're making a decision where they think, oh, it's just not harmful and it's cheaper, versus like, I know that it's bad and I'm going to do it anyway. I like to just operate from that mindset, because otherwise
I completely agree with you. I would like to assume positive intent for the most part. And also I would say that we live in a world where, right, science is always changing, it's dynamic in how research dollars are spent, in terms of how we then have research of this nature. Certainly that there's economics related to that as well. But yes, I agree that I think awareness hopefully then helps people to make the right conscientious decisions in terms of manufacturing and such for consumers. And then overall, perhaps as a society, like we can all then help to drive right towards a better world for our children and our children's children. So
yeah, absolutely. So speaking of that, I do want to list just a couple of things that might be obvious, but in case not, to encourage listeners to, if you're thinking about water specifically, what can you do? Drink filtered water. You can do this with a lot of devices at home. We would recommend that the smaller the pore size of your filter, the more it can reduce potential contaminants, as well as trying to get one that is ceramic or carbon. Both of those are those organic materials that Dr. Yu was mentioning. And as I mentioned before on the Berkey bonus show, looking for filters that are certified by NSF or Water Quality Association. I think we were talking about greenwashing and all of these things. When you're looking at something like NSF certification, or you're looking at something like B Corp or various certifications, EWG verified, that a third party has looked and said, yes, this brand is representing from transparency. They are disclosing fully to consumers. They have most of the time put people and planet in front of profit. And that's what I want to support as a consumer. I still want a company to be able to be profitable and be a business. Like, I'm still for that, but I want to also make sure that they are putting people and planet in mind and not saying it doesn't matter. Let's just do that anyway. And some of the simple things that people can do at home are simply like drinking out of glass or stainless steel bottles instead of plastic. Even if the plastic says BPA free, we're learning more and more that there's a lot more to it than that. And so if you are drinking out of a plastic bottle, like if that's all that's available to you, obviously water is important. We don't need to get dehydrated, but try to make a choice where you're keeping it out of sunlight and heat and trying to maintain that structural integrity that I was speaking to earlier. Don't just leave it in your hot car in the summertime, that sort of thing. And then lastly, and Dr. Yu has mentioned this a bunch of times, think about all the other areas in your life that you might be able to switch out plastic. Like I mentioned, recognizing that the laundry detergent pods that we were using was made of plastic, and where's that plastic going? Let me process that. Thinking through different glass containers that you could swap out in your home, compostable, non-plastic food storage bags is one that was hard for our family. I have four teenagers, and good Lord, did it take, like, the earth actually rocked up its axis the day that we finally got away from plastic food storage bag. But we had to keep trying different things in order to find a solution that worked for us. But reusable grocery bags is another way, right? Like all these different things that the less and less that we can put plastic in our lives, and hopefully then people will stop making plastic, the less that it's going to be just generically in our everyday water supply, air supply, all these kinds of things. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that before I want to ask you about your work, generally some of the other things that you oversee or what readers might expect to find at Healthline?
Yeah, the only thing I would add to the thing you mentioned, which I think that we're starting to see a little movement already around all of this, right? Whether like locally, grocery stores are banning the use of plastic bags and they're encouraging bringing your own reusable bags. And I think just by creating, whether it's just a small charge around the plastic bag usage or just banning it altogether, hopefully are the little steps towards just like you said, the behavior change that's going to happen. We know it's not going to happen overnight, but just the behavior change that's going to happen over time when we're collectively all doing it. I'm hopeful for all those things. So.
I've been an avid Costco shopper since basically the pandemic when I have four teenagers, and it became like, okay, we just got to go to one place and get all
and get them fed, right?
Yes. And it occurred to me, you know, I don't know why it didn't occur to me early on, but I'm like, it is so great that Costco is reusing the boxes that the things come in, and that's how you take your food out, and there's no plastic bags. Now, granted, a bunch of the stuff that we get comes in plastic, and I wish that it didn't. There's a lot of alternative packaging that could be created. For example, a bag of lemons. Like, why does that need to be in plastic? But I think we see people starting to make changes. And while you're in California, people might not have their grocery store ban California in Idaho or wherever something might be. But I think generally people are becoming more aware. And if we don't have a need for it and it might be problematic, or we know it's problematic, just make a different choice. But it does require creating habits. Like, I have to keep my bags in the trunk of my car. As soon as we bring groceries in, like, there is no place in the house where those reusable bags belong. There's no place for anybody to put them because they have to go back in the trunk of my car so that we don't use, you know, grocery bags later. So.
Yeah. And that sort of like example you use, that's our family. Every time we do that, we're like, okay, gotta go back in the car or else we're just gonna forget. And then it just adds up, right? So.
Absolutely. So what kind of other information or things would a reader expect to see from going to healthline.com or visiting some of the other resources? I know Healthline is also on social media, Instagram, different kinds of things.
Yeah, so Healthline, obviously, healthline.com is our site where you can find all kinds of health information, whether it's around how to manage a chronic condition in terms of medication, lifestyle choices, versus just everyday wellness, lifestyle, decision making. And then just around products. So to go back to the whole around products, we have about, I would say, over 10,000 different products in various different kind of consumer goods, whether it's like fitness equipment, mattresses, skincare products, and that we have put through this very kind of proprietary, rigorous rubric in terms of how we show up for our consumers. What I mean by that is, as we had mentioned about marketing claims and health claims, we look at those to make sure that whether people are talking about vitamins or supplements or skincare, that the health claims in the marketing language isn't beyond what the science is currently showing. So we want that to be very evidence-based. And then we're looking at certification and the industry standards and best practices, like you mentioned, in terms of these third-party certification organizations across the various different industries, whether it's in the supplement world or in the skincare world. And then we take all of that kind of what I'm calling the medically driven rubric that we put together and looking at all the products and brands. And then we tie that together with our editorial so that as we write about various things, it really helps to give the consumer the information that they need to make the right decisions in terms of, do I buy this vitamin versus do I buy this vitamin? And I think that's just important. And like I said, there's just so much out there and it's a Wild West and there's no regulatory things that's coming from the FDA. The cosmetics, skincare, the supplement space is just not as regulated. And so we want to be able to capture all of that information in such a way that it helps people, especially if you are managing a chronic condition where you already take medications. And to ensure that your medications that you take for managing your chronic condition, whether it's like diabetes or an autoimmune disease, isn't going to create side effects or interactions, drug interactions with your vitamins and supplements, just because it's not regulated, just because it's available over the counter, doesn't actually mean that it can't interact with your prescription medication. So everything you ingest has potential for interaction, as we talked about from the, in terms of just the plastics. And so we want to be able to create all of that information for people so they can get it all in one place. And that's the work we do in Healthline. And hopefully when people come and read those articles that they can see that these are information that helps them to make the right decision and take the right action.
Absolutely. And I know as someone who does that kind of research and mm-hmm. writing and podcasting myself, I know that is something that people are desperately looking for because unfortunately you can't find it from the brands or from government resources yet. I have hope that we are making progress.
Yes.
But I do like to leave listeners with something positive and uplifting, also mm-hmm. something actionable that they can take forward to either work on themselves or maybe for their family. And I'd love to hear if you have an idea. Walking away from today, what would you tell a listener to do? Don't get overwhelmed. Just do this one thing.
Yeah. We talk about, I think you and I talked about just work-life and balance a bit, just in terms of our own careers. And I think balance is such an important thing. And when we are consuming information, how that affects us mentally and physically is the same way as how everything else affects us when we're consuming water, skincare products, whatever, however it may be. And so when we have to be cognizant that we need to balance even just information that we're taking in and be able to create your own sort of mental rubric or checklist for, hey, how am I processing this? And how is this affecting me? And is this actually making me more anxious? Or is this helping me to take actions and not paralyze me? And so I think that's an important action or suggestion that I would recommend that people go through this exercise. And it's important to then actually go through that with your children so that you give them and you empower them with almost like the ability, right? And the skill to be able to take information and process it in such a way that doesn't feel that like you're just being hit with like a Mack truck where you're just like, I have all this information and I'm not sure what to do with it. And I would say that it's a practice, meaning that you're not going to all of a sudden one day just say, okay, I'm going to be able to find this balance. But it is a practice. And so it is an exercise that is every day. And just with habits, it takes time to just have it stick and be part of your life. And so don't give up if it feels like, hey, I just am not there yet. And I am like into my late 40s and still it's a practice for me on a day-to-day basis to be able to process information in such a way that make balance. And that is what I would encourage your readers and your audience.
I feel so validated in kind of everything that I do with having you on the show. I'm like, yeah, you just told me everything I talk about, everything that I'm doing. Thumbs up. I have incorporated so much about mental health and balance. The more that I've learned about health in general, the more I realize how very much science is more and more discovering how impactful the way that we think affects our body when you talk about autoimmune and chronic health issues, but also just stress and life in general and all the things. And so I appreciate that very much. And I hope our listeners will feel just as validated in the work that they're doing as they listen. And I appreciate so much about your knowledge and the work that you're doing. And I appreciate you being here today. And listeners, again, if you want to check out Dr. Wu's work, you can find everything at healthline.com and Instagram, Twitter at Healthline. And thank you for being here today for this special bonus show. Thank you for listening. If you have time to leave a review and hit the follow button in whatever podcast app you're listening, it would be so greatly appreciated. And we'll be back on Friday, as usual, with our regularly scheduled show.